Hello and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living, Business Edition. I'm Nikki Novo, your host. Hey guys, welcome to another episode. So we're going to talk about the energy of being seen, which to me is really kind of falls in that category of promotions, publicity, getting my name out there, audience, like allowing myself to be seen, all that stuff. I wanted to tap into why are some of us more comfortable with it than others? What is it that we're doing to kind of like block that from not coming our way? So I had all those questions. So I tapped in, got five messages, and I can't wait to share them with you. But first, I'm going to answer a personal question from you guys. This question is from Stephanie from Miami, and she wants to know, when do I decide to wear makeup and when do I not decide to wear makeup? So like kind of what are my rules around no makeup days and makeup days? I don't know if I really think them out so much, but I do know that I tend to do hair and makeup the days that I am going to do camera work. So the days that I know that I'm filming the podcast or I am like recording some sort of video for my platforms, for Substack or like maybe a course, I do my hair, I do my makeup, and that's about it. So it's like completely surrounded by if I'm going to be on video or not that day. I don't like if I'm going to be on Zoom, I don't do makeup. Those of you who know that are in my class, like I'll just show up in like a hoodie if I have to sometimes. And yeah, and you know, usually I'm outside most, like a lot of the time in the garden or hiking or with the kids. So I definitely don't get dressed up for those days. On the weekends, I would say I do. Like whenever I'm going to see people, I just, the Miami girl in me that just can't help herself. You know, I like to dress cute and I like to look cute. But for the most part, I like to give my skin a break. But I would say that even when I don't have makeup on, I have a few things that I do wear that maybe give me a little bit of a makeup look, and I'm actually going to share them. So if you're watching this on Substack, on my subscription, you can see it on video. But so I always wear this. I got this from my sister-in-law, who's, I told you guys, the plastic surgeon that is in charge of my skin most of the time. This is, I don't even know how you pronounce this, but Isdin Photo? God, this is like a really bad branding name, but I'll link it in the show notes if you guys want. But it's an SPF 50 that it's mineral sunscreen and it has a tint and it gives me like a little bit of a tint. I didn't know this, but actually even like looking at your computer screen makes your skin bad. So you need sunscreen even just when you're on your computer screen. So I wear this every day. So that kind of gives me a little bit. And this thing I got from my esthetician who I love, it's called Stunning Dawn. And it is a brightening eye cream and it has stuff that I can't pronounce, vitamin C and bakuli oil. No, I'm saying that wrong. But it has a bit of a tint and almost like a brightener to the eye. And I wear this every day. So like instead of a concealer, I just put this on. I'll also link to this as well. And then I always brush my eyebrows. Like my eyebrows are pretty wild. So I use Anastasia. I feel like that, like only people from that are like my age know Anastasia. I don't know if she's like popular anymore, but I still love her stuff. So I use her Brow Wiz and I kind of just color, you know, like just brush my eyebrows and color them in a little bit. And then I use the, I don't know, this like gel, like the clear brow gel to just kind of keep them in place. So even if I'm not wearing makeup, like those are the things that I'm wearing. Did you guys know that the next generation, like Gen Z, they are not into a lot of makeup now? Like the new trend is that you don't wear a lot of makeup, which is so funny to me because I feel like Gen Z, they're the little Sephora tweens that grew up kind of watching all that YouTube makeup stuff, you know, and now all of a sudden they're like, ugh, we're not into it, but they're more interested in good skin and like kind of a natural look more than makeup now. So I don't know if this is just starting to happen, but my daughter, I had her do my makeup for a photo shoot because she's just good at makeup because she's been watching these YouTube videos forever, way better than I am. And I had her like buy me products, like the products she wanted to buy. She had so much fun. It was like the best job ever for her. And she was just saying that like, no, mom, like natural look is in. Like nobody even really wants to do eyeliner anymore. So like wings are out. And like those kind of like when we were doing the eyeliner wing, obviously there's always people that still do those kind of makeups. But I guess like her generation right now is not interested in like the makeup look. So even for her prom, she wanted something super natural. So I think that's exciting because I'm like, great, I don't have to wear eyeliner anymore. Amazing. So I've been also kind of going with that trend as well, like just natural makeup look. Gen Z approved. That's my makeup answer, guys. Don't follow me for more makeup tips because it's definitely not my zone of genius. I try to just have good skin and I'm all about trying to do all camera work on one day of the week so I don't have to get dressed up the rest of the week. All right, let's get into the episode, the energy of being seen. So I got 5 messages and I would say that perhaps maybe you want to tap into which message is for you. I'm not sure that all 5 are going to be for all of you. They might contradict each other, some of them. What I do when I'm getting these messages, I try to tap into different people I know who might be having this problem. And I'm kind of feeling into why maybe they are not being seen. And that's really where I'm getting some of the messages from. So my sense is that for some of you, they might contradict each other. So really feel into which one is for you. You don't have to take all 5. And maybe all 5 are for you, you know? But I really want you to use your intuition as I deliver these messages to see which one is for you. And if a number is coming up for you right now, if you're like, oh, number 3, I would kind of go with that and listen to what number 3 is and see if there's a message for you. Of course, every episode, we always create journal prompts. We also have a meditation to go with this one in my Substack called Soul-Led Living. So you can definitely get more from these messages through the journal prompts that we give you as well. But for now, just sit back, relax, take it in, and turn your little spidey sense on to see which one is actually for you. Okay? Message number 1. Is about being honest with yourself. Being honest with yourself, meaning kind of just recognizing that you do want to be seen, that you do want your message to go wider. Like it's okay to accept that part of you. It's like almost the reluctant Leo, right? Like I'm a Cancer. I have, what is it, guys? Is my rising or my moon Leo? Gosh, I always forget. But anyways, you know, but then I have so much Cancer energy and it's hard to have such strong Leo energy at the same time. So it's just kind of like reluctant wanting to be seen. But, and you know, just in general, sometimes like our society teaches us not to be seen, or maybe if you grew up in certain female dynamics that didn't let you be seen, you know, there's so many reasons why we might have that kind of, some of us don't have it at all, which is great. But if you do, what I'm getting here is like letting yourself be honest that this is a desire of yours, that it first starts off with being okay with the fact that you have this desire, like not judging the desire, not telling yourself that you're a narcissist because you have the desire, or that like you're silly because you have the desire, or you must be insecure because you have the desire. There's a need for this honesty around this desire. And this might take a little bit of sitting with it and maybe even asking yourself, okay, why do I have this desire? Like it's okay to get to the core of it so that you're not judging yourself while you're doing these things and kind of saying like, oh, I don't know why I want to take up so much space, or I don't know why I need this, or there just feels like there needs to be an honesty and a lack of judgment around this desire. And when you get a little bit more honest about this desire, then it seems like you have to activate the inner momager, which you've heard me talk about before. To me, the momager is the manager, but the mom voice within us, it's also the manager. So it's like, okay, this child, that you know, my inner child wants to be a dancer. So then it is my role as a mom, right? The adult version of me, to give her those opportunities. But it feels like if you're hiding, so think about if you had a child, if the child couldn't be honest with you that they wanted to be, I don't know, a YouTube star, you can never really help them become a YouTube star because they themselves are feeling embarrassed to tell you that that's what they want. So therefore, like you can't even help. So here it's like you have to be honest first, and then the momager has to step in and do some of the things that need to be done that are like less emotional. They're more strategic or tactical, right? So if my son told me that he wanted to be a YouTube star, then I'd be like, okay, well, let's schedule YouTube video shoots like once a week. Okay, like let's find the right SEO. Oh, you might need somebody to teach you how to be a better editor of your videos. Like, let me see if I can hire you a coach for editing, right? So I would take these steps to develop that talent and help And then, you know, from there also like help that talent. I actually dated growing up in high school, I dated this guy who was a baseball player and he actually became a professional baseball player. So if you guys read my book, this is the guy that I was engaged to and I broke off the wedding 2 months before. Yep, that guy. So this kid was like just a really great baseball player, but obviously he was just living in this town, he was living in Miami, which was definitely not a big city at the time. Yeah, they would definitely recruit down there because Hispanic people tend to be good at baseball. So there was some recruitment, but his father, my boyfriend's father, like knew the game and this was like before social media, but he would basically like, you know, his son would play like a good game, let's say like in high school. And then he would call the newspaper, the guy who would write, I guess, a little section in the newspaper about what high school players were doing well. And he would basically like pitch the writer and be like, hey, did you know my son did this? He pitched these many, whatever, like this was the score. He's had 3 games in a row with nobody's been able to hit his pitches, like whatever. And then the newspaper would write these little articles about my boyfriend at the time. So the dad was like, he was really being a manager, like, and behind the scenes. And if he knew that there was recruiters in town, like he would try to get the recruiter's number and tell them to come, college recruiters or even major league recruiters to come see his son play. So very strategic, and kind of like he was doing it because his son wanted to be a baseball star, you know, and he was good. So he was activating that manager role. And that's what I'm feeling for this first message is like, once you're honest with yourself, then it almost looks like the momager will start to activate. Cause it's like, if I love my child, if I love the inner child within me, then they have a true desire to be this and there is talent there. And you've probably already developed the talent, right? So sometimes you're like both developing the talent and promoting the talent. So there's those kind of things, but the momager will be like, okay, cool. My kid has a desire for this. So like, let's help her develop that talent. Let's help her get the word out because like this is a desire of hers. I love her, so I'm going to do this for her, right? So that looks like that's the relationship and that gets cleaned up between the inner child and the inner mother gets cleaned up with honesty. So starting with the honesty and just being okay with yourself that this is what you want. Message number two, I was getting that the energy of being seen for you is all about having original storytelling. So this feels like there might be other people teaching and, you know, let's say you're teaching human design and there's 10 other human design teachers. I know there's more than that. And they're all kind of like teaching it one way. It feels to me that if you take that same thing, that's human design, but you do some storytelling to it. So you might even bring yourself in there and it's original storytelling. Like you have an original perspective on human design, or because I think sometimes with the things that we're doing, we're like, oh, well, it's not super original. It's like, of course, everything's, you know, pretty much everything's been done already. So probably chances are what you're teaching or what you're, you know, sharing is not necessarily a truly original idea, but it's the storytelling that makes it original. So I was getting that you kind of have to tap into the original storytelling that's within you and tell one story. I was actually seeing a mind map of your story. So for example, let's say your storytelling is about inner child healing. I see almost like, okay, you get a piece of paper, you write in the center, inner child healing, and you make it like a little bubble, right? And then from there, you write a line and you start making more bubbles. And maybe, you know, you start just dumping what's in your brain. Like what are the different stories or the different things you can talk about when you think about inner child? So maybe it's like, that time my mom let me down, or like maybe it's that client I saw who like changed her life when she had this meditation. All these like different stories that can be told that connect to this one bigger message about the inner child healing. So it really looks like there needs to be storytelling, original storytelling, and understanding that that's what gives color to your message. And that is actually what connects people to your message. And it seems like you might be kind of sharing too many different messages. Like you might be telling too many different stories, but it's important to know that like in this one message that you have, there's enough story for like 3 years. You know, like I do intuition work, let's say, and I've been doing intuition work for years now, and there's still stories. Like there's so many stories about it, and I can still message on intuition, right? To get clear on the one message that you are messaging and to start writing out all the different stories that go with that message. And that originality of story is actually what's going to make you connect, because it almost makes me feel like it's hard to find you in a crowd of people that are doing similar work. It's like almost like you're trying to present as a teacher when you should be presenting as a storyteller and a curator and really like a messenger, to not feel like you need to teach the message or the technique, but to actually storytell about it. So take some time to really map out the different things you can talk about when you talk about this message. I have a little assignment for myself on that. I am starting this publication on Substack called Rosa, and it's a creative kind of like inspired publication but I haven't really seen like the fullness of what it is. I have an idea of what it is. I get this feeling that I have to treat it almost like when I'm writing a book, that, you know, a book has many chapters, many pages, many stories. But if I don't like sit down to really hone in on the theme, I could like take that book anywhere, right? So I'm getting this feeling that this Rosa publication that I'm doing on Substack, it needs to be like themed. And I'm trying to get to the center, like the core of the message there, so that when I post something, when I post an article, that it's not just like random out of left field, that it feels like all related to the message. So I am going to storytell, but it's like the storytelling has to connect to a greater message. So I too have to do this, like sit down, but it feels like that you're missing that. Like you're almost like missing the colors to the thing that you're trying to teach or the message that you're trying to get out. And the color comes from this artistic expression of the story, which is like the most fun part. So maybe take off the teacher hat for a little bit, or even like the sales hat. Let's say you're like selling a brand, like take that off a second and put this like the author or the storyteller hat on and let yourself dream it up a little bit. And that looks like that's really going to work. Message number three I was getting is all about being a good listener to your community. This feels like your community, whether you're aware of them, like whether they're already with you, right? Like sometimes community hasn't discovered us yet. Like community exists, right? But they're not like with us yet. And this could even be like, let's say in my case that I do have a community, I might want to like expand into another community. So I have to kind of tap into the other community, even though they're not here yet. So this feels like either you have the community already, or maybe they don't even exist yet, but you know that they're out there in the world. Like it's a type of person. And it feels like there's a need to be a little bit of a better listener to that community. Like they are asking about things or like kind of complaining about things or struggling with things. And being seen is really about like being in relationship and being in conversation. So imagine like being in conversation with somebody, and it feels like the person that is in your community that's trying to talk to you, you may not be like fully listening to them. You may think you have the solution for them. Like you want to give them the solution, but you're kind of jumping over where they actually are at. So it feels like you need to kind of get down to and really listen to where they are and speak to them from there. Like makes me feel like you're kind of jumping over what they're actually struggling with. So kind of getting down and being like, okay, like tell me all the things, and really just like listening to them. And maybe you're seeing clients, or maybe you're like seeing people use the product, and just listening to them for a little bit and really understanding where they're at, and then speaking to them from there. So speaking to them in conversation rather than like speaking at them. It feels like this way of being is like they are going to feel, even though obviously they're not all going to be able to talk to you at once, because, you know, maybe you're making a YouTube channel or a podcast or whatever, they're going to feel like they're in conversation with you. Like they're going to feel like they said something, they thought something, and you responded. So it feels like when you're going out and sharing your message or sharing your brand, you want to feel like you're in response to the challenges or to the things that the community is talking about. So, and this is going to make you be more seen. Like they're going to recognize you more, because they're going to be like, oh my God, I was just thinking about that. And then all of a sudden, this person's like in the same conversation. So it feels like basically being in the same conversation that your community is in. And you may think you're in the same conversation, but it does look like you're, not that you're speaking over them, but you are speaking to them from a place a little bit like of entitlement almost, you know, and entitlement, I know that's such an ugly word these days, but entitlement sometimes is just like, oh man, you know, I can be entitled to my students, right? Because I have been doing intuition work for so long. My intuition is so strong by now that when somebody who just shows up tells me that they're struggling, my message to them might seem entitled because I'm so far away from like where they're at, right? So like, I don't mean, when I say entitlement, I don't mean to like insult you. It just seems like you're not really understanding where they currently are at. And so your message feels like not for them. And then therefore they don't see you, like that you don't catch their attention. So with this, it's like getting down to where they are. You're still going to be able to share your message, but you're going to speak to them in a way where you honor and like respect where they are at to help them get to where you ultimately want them to be. But like where you are is like step Z and they're like at step B, you know? So kind of coming a little bit down to be and to meet them where they're at. And the message there really is that this is actually what creates community, because being seen ultimately means that like there's a community there and there's a strong community, and maybe it's even like the community that you want. But if you're not talking to them at their level or where they're at, then there is no community. So this is like the answer to having a greater community. Message number four, and this is the one that I wasn't sure if this might contradict another message for you. So again, kind of tap into this one. But this one is talk and share like nobody is watching, you know, like that saying, like dance like nobody is watching. This feels like you're making stuff or you're trying to tell your story or you're trying to like put something out there and you're almost like checking the likes or the responses or the comments more than what is actually healthy. It feels like this is like take a break from the response, like take a break from the followers or the comments or the views, because it seems like in your case, you know what you want to share. Like you are like feeling inspired on what you want to share. Like you might even have maybe, let's say, put out a reel that you were really inspired about. You're like, oh, I like really want to share this message, but somehow it is like not, you know, not yet being received or it's not growing in the way that you want to. And that is kind of stunting your growth. So this feels like for those of you who are inspired, have a message, like just want to let it rip. This feels like letting it flow without being, you know, super drawn by the algorithm, I guess. And this to me like feels different than like where the last message was, which was like, you know, be a good listener, listen to your people. That feels like, you know, these conversations are happening somewhere else. This feels like almost, you know, one person is comment, two people, like you're feeling good about this. You were inspired by this, but it's like when you plant a seed and the full tree hasn't grown yet and you're upset. This feels like you can't watch the plant every day. Like you can't be staring at the plant all day waiting for it to like sprout out of the soil. Like you have to leave it for a day or two and then you check in on it and you water it. So this feels like you kind of have to like, if you feel like you're a little obsessed with the analytics, with the response, this message feels like that is not serving you right now. You have to just share and talk and like go for it for a little bit. So I did that with the podcast, right? Like the first, I guess we launched in January, I'm filming right now in May. And the first 3 months was just, let's just get it out and make sure it's consistent. And like, I'm just going to share what I want to share. Like, I'm not going to look at analytics. I don't even know what this is. Like, I just feel like I have this thing that's moving through me. Like, I'm not going to look at it. But 3 months with keeping your head down and not looking at the analytics, like that's a, kind of a long time, because sometimes with analytics, like you can look at it several times a day, you know? So this feels like kind of whatever that messaging, that body of work and messaging that you're trying to do, like, and you're, if you're trying to put it in like a container, if you're just like, okay, I'm going to put it in YouTube or I'm going to put it on Instagram, to let yourself do it without worrying about analytics for a few months. And then once you have really felt like authentic in the messaging and it feels good and it feels right, then you can start to put your head up and check out the analytics. So I think the other message here is like, don't be frozen by what you think people want from you, like really feel into like what is coming through you. That's how I feel about this podcast. Like, I mean, I know my people like well enough that I know we're already in the same conversation. I'm not really like coming out of left field so much, but I told myself like, this is going to be a creative expression for me, like what I want to express. So I really go in to feel like what is trying to move through me. And that's where I'm making it from. Where in the past, I've definitely made episodes based off like, people want to know about intuition. Like, let's talk about like 5 steps to be more intuitive, right? And that was really completely just giving like people what they want. But that was not true to me at the time, or that didn't feel like authentic to me. So this is a little bit of, you know, again, like really hearing yourself, like what wants to be shared through you. And that ultimately seems like you really tap, like if you can get this right, you tap into the light that is within you. And that bright light like just starts to really shine. And that is like how you become seen. Lastly, message number 5 is to release the victim, to write a new story. And this is probably always a good one for everybody. So many of us that are having a problem being seen typically might have some sort of story or some sort of wound about not being seen, right? Like it is, and I just think being seen at this level, or, you know, kind of expanding your brand or expanding your voice beyond like your group of friends, beyond your family, you know, can be challenging for some people, especially people who are sensitive and people that may have had a wound in that place. Not all of us have had it, but some of us do. And I think that sometimes there's even some wounds that really help a person be seen, you know, like you meet, like there's some people out there in the world, you're like, oh my gosh, like this person did not get enough hugs. And that's why they work so hard to get hugs from everybody else. And that's why they have a huge audience, you know? So it's kind of funny how the wound can sometimes support the person in being seen. But then there are other like stories that keep us from not being seen. And they can be very innocent stories, right? Like in my line of work, because we believe in like past lives and it's spiritual work, a lot of times like people that are healers have been doing healing work for many lifetimes, but other lifetimes they have been murdered for like being a witch, right? So whether you believe in that or not, past lives really do play with, you know, what we're doing today. So some people might be like, oh, I have a witch wound. I know that every time I felt like I wanted to come out about the things I believed in, whether it was like spirit guides or past lives, I really felt like I was going to be like murdered or killed, you know? And that could be because I grew up Catholic or whatever, but it was hard in the beginning to come out with the work that I was doing. It could be from my childhood, like from being raised Catholic, but I think it was, I mean, I was having memories of past lives. So, you know, kind of a little innocent wound. Like, I don't mean to have that wound, right? Like that is, who knows where that, you know, has come from or when that came from, but it was there. But definitely by telling myself like, I have a witch wound, or I've been murdered many lifetimes, like is just perpetuating that story. And now that it's like, okay, I've worked through that story. I know that story. I know that wound. I've looked into it. Like, I don't need to tell that story anymore. Let's tell another story. Or maybe you grew up with like a narcissistic parent, or maybe your sibling was the one that always shined and you didn't, right? Like, there's so many different stories, but to find those stories, and I know that everybody that's listening, and if you're at this level, you're like, yeah, I know those stories, like done with them, you know? But sometimes we keep repeating them by accident. It could be like, oh, my mom was amazing. And like, because your mom was amazing, you always saw yourself second to that. And like, you don't let yourself be as bright as your mom. So it could even come from a good story, but there's a story that is keeping us here. And sometimes it's very much like a victim story. So there is a need. This message is really about, there's a need to write a new story for yourself. So what is the story? Like, maybe it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm so lucky. It's just interesting. Like when I say something, like people listen and people really like what I'm talking about. You know, I feel like super connected to this community. It's so fun. Like, what is the story? Like, oh yeah, you know, I had a hard childhood with my mom, but I worked through that. It's good. I've released it. I let it go. And now I'm like really open to, you know, like letting myself be seen, whatever it may be. But just noticing any stories. And sometimes the story is, I've been doing this for 5 years and nothing has really hit and nothing ever works out for me. So it could even be like a more recent story. Like, it doesn't have to be like a story from childhood or even a past life. It could be, you know, I've been working at this business for 2 years and nothing has hit. So that story needs to be released, right? And it could be retold, you know, oh, of course, every business takes time to launch, or, you know, I was figuring things out, or I wasn't ready at the time to be like seen at the level that I'm ready to be seen at. So whatever way you need to rework that story, but to notice the stories you're telling when it comes to being seen and just allowing yourself to let it go. Like, my sense is that you've worked through them anyways. Like, you don't need to know much more about it. I had this teacher when I first started doing my work. I studied theta healing, and she would always tell us, like, sometimes when you get into healing, there's so many stories connected to that one story that, you know, is blocking you. And she would always say, like, you don't have to get caught up in the drama. Like, you could just choose to release it. I'm a little bit more sensitive. I need to know a little bit about the trauma first. But after I've, you know, experienced it and understand it, I can let it go, you know, and really letting yourself, really allowing yourself to let go that story so that you can start telling a new story and start living a new story. Because this is what this is about. This is like the story of somebody who hasn't been seen to somebody who has been seen. So even if you were watching a movie about a girl or a guy that hadn't been seen their whole life, and things started to turn around for them and they became very seen, what is that story? Like, that's the story you want to tell about yourself. And that's the kind of story that is going to work. So it feels like just reworking your stories, watching your stories, watching what you're saying, how you're positioning yourself, and what you're deciding that is true for you. That's it, my friends. Those are the 5 messages all about being seen. And if you happen to be in a similar space as me, you know, a spiritual teacher, maybe a holistic healer or a spiritual practitioner, anything like that, I have a new subscription on Substack called Spiritual Teacher. It's for coaches, healers, spiritual practitioners, health coaches, things like that, all about just mentoring you through these stages to become a thought leader. And I do have a workshop on how to get on podcasts, which is one way we can be seen. So if you're feeling like you'd like to be seen in that way and get on some podcast, please head over to Substack and search for Spiritual Teacher. We'll also link it below so that you can join me there. And there's much more. There's a lot of other workshops and healings and all that kind of stuff. But this month was all about being seen on podcast. So I hope you join me there. I love you much. I can't wait to see you next week. Sending you love always. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.